medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. Back with me this week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul. I see the Avs didn't do so hot against the Knights.
Ouch.
What happened?
You'd have to go there first, since the Avs made it past the Wild, Minnesota Wild in the first round. But yes.
Apparently, the Minnesota Wild took a lot out of your Avs.
Ha 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 ha. Dun-dun. See what she did there, peeps? Yes, wasn't so good. They did not perform well. I'm not going to make excuses or anything like that. It was a tough series. Vegas came in, their goalie was definitely hot, and the Avs they struggled with obviously some key injuries. Didn't do them any favors. And yeah, I mean, Vegas just kind of took it to them. And game three, where the Avs in Vegas jumped out 3-0, kind of gave them their best punch, and Vegas didn't even flinch. They just came all the way back and tied it. And then, of course, scored with just a few minutes left, I think, in the third period to take the lead. It was like, wow, we gave them our best shot. And, it didn't really do much. So might have sealed the deal at that point. So, but yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's great. I love just going straight into a crappy topic like that. And that's fantastic.
Hey, anytime. That's what I'm here for.
All right. So how's your week going?
Oh, my week's fabulous. Just working away, trying to make heads of, or tails, I don't know, of all my Coupa integrations.
So, oh, joy.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. How's training?
Training's going well. I had 18 miles last weekend. Ooh. And it got a little warm. I probably should have started a little bit earlier. The sun here in Colorado is intense. And by the end of the 18, I was ready to be out of the sun.
Oh, wow. Coming from Florida, that says a lot.
I know. So. It does say a lot, doesn't it? Like, I need to cool down. But otherwise, it went good. I felt good almost the whole time. So
nice.
I felt strong all the way to the end. And that's all I can ask for on an 18 miler, feeling strong. So this week's a down week, which is nice. My body is appreciating a little extra recovery.
Rest and recovery.
Yes, exactly. Focusing on dialing back the weights even, and one less day of strides in there, and just kind of letting it be recovered so I can ramp up for a couple more long runs. Two more, I think.
So, I mean, I know we're here to talk about JD Edwards, but I think
we
are also interested in your training and how it's working. So you're on a 2 week build, 2 weeks on, and then a week recovery at this point?
Yes. Okay. 2 weeks on, 1 week off, which I've actually found to be pretty good. I think the last marathon, the last two were actually difficult to judge because I got sick.
Right.
With both of them. But prior to that, it had been a number of years since I actually raced, but that was a 3 week build. And, you know, get older, bodies change a little. So I think going the 2 week build has been pretty good.
That's a better balance right now.
Yeah.
Which are adjustments. I mean, those are adjustments that are hard to find and hard to make, right?
Yeah.
I guess we're probably somewhat stubborn when it comes to this stuff, but it's also just tough to find that balance that you need and what your body needs and when it needs it. So,
good stuff. Exactly. So
awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. Well, you've only got, just over a month left then? So you should be hitting taper in a couple weeks.
I should be. So I'll let you know how I feel then. Sometimes taper is, you start feeling anxious because you're like, oh my God, I'm losing all this fitness. You know, I work so hard and you cut my mileage back and now, but it'll be fine. You kind of get a little antsy. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. At least I'm used to it. I'm prepared for it. I've been there, done that. So,
I mean, the whole idea being that you're letting your body fully recover so that you hit it strong.
You're not going into 26 miles fatigued, right?
Right. That's not good. And it takes a lot to lose fitness. It takes a lot of time off to truly lose fitness. So
it does.
Okay, cool. What are we talking about today?
Well, this week we're going to cover a question that I had asked you a couple weeks ago where I forgot to hit record because I'm notorious for doing that, where we'll get on and start talking about something and I won't hit record. And then I'll be like 20 minutes later, that would have been a podcast episode. What the heck? So this question I'm about to ask is something that came up as we had talked to Hyann, and I've heard this term other times in the J.D. Edwards space, but I didn't exactly know what it meant. And that is, what exactly is web runtime?
And you ask an application developer. Oh, this is fantastic.
I know.
All right. So I should apologize ahead of time to Hyann and the rest of the folks that actually, and Srihari. I mean, we just had Srihari on. I mean, come on.
I should have asked Srihari.
Exactly. So instead, those guys will audit me and I'll end up, when this publishes, I'll find out within a pretty short window of time whether or not I butcher this or not. But I wish you would have hit record, because if I recall, I gave a pretty thorough answer, which is why you're trying to ask me again. But that requires that I remember what the hell I said last time.
True.
And we've already talked about age once today, so
I know, right? Things get a little tougher as we get older.
But I appreciate the question, because we throw around terms, I think, quite a bit. We get really used to the way we talk within J.D. Edwards. Even within J.D. Edwards development, there's a language that we use that isn't necessarily the way everybody understands the product. So as we said with Lingo Bingo, we got UDCs and we've got OMW, we've got FDA, we've got all these three-letter acronyms.
Yeah.
And then internally, we've got names for things. And the product at Hyann and company, the product area is called Web Runtime. And we basically break, our product into various groupings. So you've got Foundation. And Foundation, Tools Foundation, is exactly what it sounds like. It's the foundation behind everything that how J.D. Edwards effectively runs when it comes to, like, say, the enterprise server and the database server and the communication between all of our servers and interoperability. So within the area of J.D. Edwards Foundation, what we would consider Foundation, you'll see everything that we do with our database layer. So, we're database agnostic. So we support Oracle, we support SQL Server, we support, well, at some point we did UDB and DB2 and all these other databases. And so we have a database layer that sits in Foundation, and we've got interoperability, right? So everybody knows about their BSSVs and their real-time events and all of that. And we've got a specific server that resides in what we would consider to be Foundation as well. And then, of course, you just have Foundation, the actual management of our enterprise server where all your logic is currently running. Well, Web Runtime is, if you remember back to our CNC 101 or whatever it was, where we had Clayton on to try to explain all the different servers. And once again, we all have our various interpretations of these things, and I oversimplify mine. There's a lot more variations out there. But at the end of the day, you have a web client where all your applications currently run. And so Web Runtime is the engine behind that web client. Just like Foundation is kind of the engine behind our database and enterprise server, Web Runtime is the engine behind our web client. So it controls how your applications execute on that application server. And so how the ER executes and all that. So when you think about Web Runtime, you just think about your application and your application server, and it's what basically controls, manages everything that's happening in the context of your application. Okay. So it's also where things like extensibility frameworks reside. So imagine we go in and we do stuff like personalization, right? So you want to be able to personalize a form. Well, what's responsible for interpreting that personalization, applying it to the application, and rendering the application accordingly? Well, that's Web Runtime. And then you've got your form extensibility, right? As everybody knows, we can go create a form extension, which is slightly beyond what you would do with personalization. Same sort of concept. Web Runtime's got to interpret that form extension and understand, what additional fields do I need to render from the business view? What overrides do we have to some of the names, perhaps? You guys do grid formats, right? All of those things have to be interpreted and understood and rendered accordingly, and all that. the queries.
Personal queries and your...
Right, that end up defaulting in ones. That you've got your advanced query capability that comes in. And so you can have a default query and all of that has to be recognized and all that security has to be ran to understand that and apply that when you're running at runtime, web runtime. Now we'll make the connection, right? Your application's running on the web. That runtime is happening, and this is what the web runtime has to do. Then you get into logic extensions and stuff like that, right? Because those now apply as well. So it's like, okay, what queries do I have to run? How do I need to render this form? What's the layout that they want? What's the grid format that you want? What's the cafe one? So it has to manage all of those things. And what controls do I need to not show because you've hidden them via personalization or form extension? And then what logic extensions or buttons do I need to expose and be prepared to run? So it handles and manages all of that. I don't know that that's an easy explanation, but hopefully that helps.
It absolutely does. No, thank you very much. Would you consider it almost like a middleware software? Like it's kind of like talking back and forth, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really put it necessarily in that category because it's more of a, I don't even want to really call it an abstraction layer, really, because we do have abstraction layers. I mean, the entire E1 tool set really creates an abstraction layer between the actual code and the actual executables and what we do, because you go in and you create ER. ER is a proprietary software language, right, that JD Edwards created that gets interpreted. Sure. That on the web client's probably going to generate Java, but in other instances, like named ERs can generate C, or they can run locally and generate Java. That creates this abstraction layer where I don't have to care where it's running or how it's running. I just write the logic and the tool decides for me how to interpret that and how to execute that. And I don't have to worry about that. Same thing with database, right? When you think about foundation, I think of it more as somewhat of an abstraction layer. There's this, in a sense, you can call it a middle where you're executing and basically it's doing the interpretation of what's happening. It understands what the database is. It understands what OS you're running on. So it can do those things to be able to properly interact with those pieces without the folks that are actually writing the software understanding or knowing or caring. That's the beauty of it. I can create business functions all day long and I don't have to care what platform I'm on. There are various compilers, the set and everything else. We build with all of them and they work and that's great. You execute it wherever you need to execute. I don't have to worry and write code differently because you're running on an AS400 versus running on a Linux box. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's kind of the way I think of it personally. We just have this tool set that allows us to build these applications, manage these applications, run these applications. And there's a lot involved in the runtime interpretation and execution of those things.
Very cool. Well, thank you. I appreciate the explanation. Of course, my mind goes to, well, how do you troubleshoot issues? Is it what I mean? Like, wow, is it wrong somewhere in the web runtime component? Right. Or is it wrong because something else, your Cafe One or your whatever, or something on the database? That's got to be tricky to troubleshoot.
Right. I mean, you have to consider, it's good to have that picture in your head, because is it a problem between the communication of the web client to the enterprise server or the web client to the database server? Or is it between the enterprise server / logic server and your database server? Where is potentially the communication problem? Each one of these has its own set of logs. So you can get runtime logs, ER logs, off your app server, off your web client, so that you can actually step through the ER logic, debug through its own debug log and understand where it's making calls. But then you have the actual JDE debug log, which will take you through basically what's happening on the enterprise server. Each one of these has their own set of debug logs, and you can start to combine them when you're trying to track down, troubleshoot an issue. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we could go through. What's the JDBC versus ODBC versus whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's the different types of connections and
the drivers and
drivers and
stuff
yeah.
like that. I don't think we really want to go there. It's a pretty sophisticated, complicated client server topology, and there's a lot to it. And this ends up, to be fair, I mean, this is where we also struggle sometimes as a development team, because we operate in these teams, right? And we work on these different areas of product. So it skews our view of things. So then when you say, hey, what's your product strategy? And you say, okay, well, we're going to work on digital platform. Okay, we'll correlate that for me. You just said web runtime, digital platform. Are these the same thing? It's like, yeah, sort of, kind of. Because web runtime isn't necessarily orchestrator, but orchestrator is part of digital platform, as is web runtime with all the extensibility.
Right.
Okay, but there could be things that we're doing from a system administration side, which is another area of investment, that require changes within web runtime. So these things aren't so easily perfectly segregatable. You end up with this wonderful Venn diagram that'll just confuse the heck out of it. But generally speaking, you can say, geez, I've got applications. I know what those are. Right. Yep. And then I've got system administration. Well, that's just got to be the lifecycle management and foundation teams. Right. I mentioned foundation before, lifecycle management, OMW, builds, promotions. Everybody's got to take the good old roll up ESU. That's your lifecycle management team. Right. But ESUs, I mean, all of that is managed by lifecycle management. Right. Server manager console. That falls into the lifecycle management team. So generally speaking, foundation lifecycle management generally play in system administration fields, areas, that space. And so that strategy is executed by that team. And digital platform is going to be executed primarily by your web runtime and orchestrator teams. So I guess that's a little bit behind baseball or something like that.
But inside baseball.
Inside baseball, I apologize. But, you know, if that helps, okay. That's the way we've organized ourselves.
Thank you. No, I think it's good information. I think it's helpful. And like you said, it is all interconnected. So I guess the answer to are you investing? Yes.
Yeah.
It's in all the areas. I mean, like you said, it's an overlapping Venn diagram of a lot of different components, right? It's very hard to isolate what you might consider an improvement because, it, like you said, if you do this, it might impact over here. So yeah, we're still adjusting that. We're still connected to it. We're still improving it.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're a fully integrated system and it's not just our application solutions. And a good example of what you're talking about is what we're doing with Redwood. Right. Yeah. So Redwood, while it gives us a much needed facelift across the board, it's required the entire series of teams. There's no team that is not impacted by this adoption. So your LCM team has got their own set of applications. They've got their own set of jet pages, and they have something called Server Manager, which probably hasn't seen an uplift since. Well, I did joke about the 1980s and Atari asking for its icons back. I probably hasn't seen an uplift since its inception in 1996. Anyway, I joke. But no, it has. We went to the web at some point, and that's about the last time we touched the UI. So guess what? This is far-reaching, right? It's not just the applications that have to look at this, and it's not just the UX1 pages and the landing pages and everything else, the E1 pages, but you know, it's web runtime and how it applies all this stuff to make sure that icons and everything happen the way they need. Orchestrators got a facelift, logic extensions gets a facelift, workflow manager, all of this stuff is now impacted by this. So to your point, it's all interconnected and complicated. So
yes,
but
exactly.
But also, you know, there are benefits to it, obvious benefits to it, but it does make things somewhat complicated sometimes.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And hopefully our guests appreciate it as well.
Yeah. And again, Srihari and Dave and Hyann, Aaron, Nicole, and some of the others on the web runtime team, I apologize if I totally butchered your area of expertise, but no.
And if so, let us know. We'll have you on.
Some of those folks will probably be like, I'm not on web runtime. I'm an orchestrator. I quit, you know, whatever. So that's the problem too, is it's, you know, they're part of the digital platform team. So hopefully I did the web runtime part. I did it justice. Or Clayton will call me tomorrow and let me know that I butchered it. So.
Exactly. Well, you know, you got that going for you.
Yeah, I have a team that doesn't hesitate. That's just part of the culture that we've bred over the years.
Yes, it's feedback. We did talk about that last week.
Yeah, clearly defined feedback loops.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. It's a very good culture for that.
Yeah. That door open policy needs to be rethought. I think. Anyway.
All right. So, I know we always wrap up with a Midwesternism.
What'd you come up with this week?
Actually, it was one you sent me. I believe it was an Instagram clip, whatever, reel, whatever you call it these days. Wisconsin lunchboxes.
I think you probably
should explain this. You had told me about it, I think it was during football season. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have never heard of such a thing, which is actually quite entertaining because Minnesota and Wisconsin really aren't that far apart, especially where I lived. It wasn't that far from Wisconsin. So I was floored that I had never heard of this. And I will say, it sounds horrendous.
Yes.
But
it doesn't sound that good. This is true.
No, but it does not. But it's actually quite tasty.
Yeah.
I did try one.
This is like peanut butter on your hot dogs. You don't knock it until you try it. Okay, folks, you can make as much fun as about peanut butter on hamburgers and hot dogs as much as you want. But at the end of the day, until you tried it, you really can't. So you need to try it first. Same thing here. So Wisconsin lunchbox, gosh, I don't even know when I was introduced to this. It had to be in college. If I admit it was before that, then, well, anyway.
Then there's a problem.
Anyway, so it's a drink combination. The proportions vary. How do I make my Wisconsin lunchboxes? I pour about a half a can of your finest PBR that you can find. Pabst Blue Ribbon is the way it's supposed to be made. But if you want to waste a really good beer like New Glarus and Spotted Cow, you can, because those are good beers, but those are good beers on their own. PBR can occasionally use some enhancement. So you use something like PBR and you do half a can, and then you put about a quarter cup maybe of orange juice. You pour a little orange juice in.
Orange juice and beer.
Yep, orange juice
together in a cup.
Yeah, I got to make sure you don't get scurvy, you know. So you got your fruit at this point. Vitamin C is important. You got your water. We're going to get clearly hydrated with the PBR. And then, of course, you pour out a shot of amaretto, which is, I believe it's a liqueur, right?
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. Yeah, fairly sweet. It's a sweet liqueur.
It's a sweeter liqueur.
So in your pint glass, you've poured a half a glass of PBR, a quarter glass of orange juice. Now you take your shot of amaretto and you actually drop it in and you slam the whole thing all at once.
So you drop the entire shot glass, not just drop the shot in. You put the entire shot glass in.
Yeah.
Oh, kind of like an Irish car bomb.
Yeah, you drink it like an Irish car bomb and you slam the whole thing. And surprisingly, it tastes like, I can't even describe it, but it's nice. It's actually, there's got a little caramel flavor to it in there. You know, I don't know. There's probably
orange, a little, I can't think of the candy or sweet that you might've had as a child, but it tastes something like that.
Yeah. So you don't want to do, you know, half a dozen of these darn things because that won't get good, but you slam it all together and it tastes really, really good. And it's a fun drink. So that's a Wisconsin lunchbox. And typically what I would do is when the Packers make the playoffs, and that usually happens after the regular season. I know the Vikings aren't that familiar with that part of the season, but seasons beyond the first 16, 17 games or beyond preseason, really. Anyway. We'll move on. During playoffs, I'd have people over, and every time Packers would score, we'd have to do a Wisconsin lunchbox for fun. So it was a good way to celebrate. But this most recent experience with it was actually I went to the Packers-Broncos game. And as a part of tailgating, I was only welcome to the tailgate to basically introduce people to Wisconsin lunchboxes. And I was ill-prepared. Apparently, Bronco fans enjoy drinking as much as Packer fans do. I thought maybe it was going to be a little more tame, a little more conservative. I was wrong. I was clearly wrong, because we went through a bottle of amaretto in a very short period of time. So this next time, looks like the Packers do play the Broncos in the preseason, and looks like we're planning to go. So I will be better supplied this next time around. But everybody did enjoy it. I mean, everybody gave the same look that you gave when I just described it of what the hell? Like, really? Seriously? This can't be. No way. And then, of course, they drink it and they're like, holy cow, I want another one of those.
that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I was surprised, because if people could have seen my face, it looked like, oh my gosh, I'm going to vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's solid. And then you can feel good. You got your sweet, you got your fruit, you got your hydration. I mean, you're just set. It's perfect. Perfect combination.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for that explanation. And I'm sure Hopefully people consume their Wisconsin lunchboxes in moderation. Maybe yes. Not every score of a football game. That could get dangerous.
Score from one particular team.
Yeah, I know. See. But that could get dangerous depending.
It gets dangerous if you say you can drink one for your team when they score, but two if the opposing team scores. Oh. That's when it gets really dangerous.
Yeah, no, we don't need to go there. No. So. Nope. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.